Well, I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Well, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, that city will be rolled, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll wash like snow.
Amen. I believe we're identified over there. Amen. I'm looking forward to it by His grace. Amen. God bless you richly this morning. Good to be in service again together. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. But before we do, just wanted to announce again, Lord willing, this Thursday will be our men's meeting. It'll be March the 16th at 7:30 p.m. So remember that in prayer. And for you brothers that can make it, looking for a good time in the Lord and fellowship together. Also, Brother Wes Willis will be preaching for us March the 26th. Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and we'll be having a youth service that following Friday that he'll be speaking at. It'll be March the 31st at 7:30 p.m., and anyone is welcome to come, but it'll be focused to the youth, so remember that service in prayer. And Sister Gloria Soderquist, her sister Peggy passed away, so I want to remember her and the family during this time. And Sister Patty Hansel, she requested prayer for Traveling Mercies. And Brother McKimmy, that we prayed for Wednesday night, his surgery went well and he's doing well. Just want to continue to remember him in prayer for continued recovery. And while he was in the hospital there, his wife actually started having chest pains, and they put her in the hospital due to the chest pains and found out that she also has an infection. So I want to remember her in prayer. And Sister Tina has a migraine this morning. I want to remember her in prayer. She's not feeling well. And Sister Barbara Stutzman asks that we please remember Reuben Miller and his family. He's in the hospital, needs to be placed on a ventilator to survive, according to the doctor. He's a close friend to my sister, so I want to remember that situation in prayer. We know the Lord's more than able. And Brother Arnie put in a request, said, please pray for our little West African newborn baby brother whose dear mother gave her life while giving him birth. The baby's grandfather, Pastor Antoine Klutzi, asked that we pray for the little child. His name is Elijah. And I want to remember that situation in prayer. Remember the prayer request we had Wednesday night when Brother Klutzi's daughter had passed away during giving childbirth, but the baby did survive. And so we just want to continue to remember the baby in prayer, that Lord will just give a physical touch there. And also, and I'm sure it'll be a rough road for that family for a while, and just want to remember them in prayer during this time of loss. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring an uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, Lord, sees each one. Brother Trevor, would you just come this morning and lead us in a word of prayer? Also, there's a Brother Boaz that we met at the minister's meeting there this weekend, and he's from India, and he's in charge of a church. He's a pastor there. And he also, they're helping quite a few widows. And he has an orphanage of 75 children that he's supporting there. And I'm sure it's an immense responsibility if the financial situation is the way it are over there and things. So I want to remember that brother in prayer, that God will just lead him and provide for him and the work that he's trying to do over there. Amen. God bless you, Brother Trevor.
Amen. Good morning. Good to be with you. Just want to really quick just say thank you so much for your prayers for myself and my family while I was gone over in Europe. Had really good services, really good meetings, good fellowship with the brethren, and I believe the Lord really planted some wonderful seeds of unity and deliverance, and many things were done. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's to you that we come. Because, Lord, we acknowledge your greatness and your glory. We acknowledge that you are high and lifted up, Lord, that your train fills the temple, Lord, that we are but mortals and in need of your condescension, Lord, to us. But, Father, even in that, Lord, we know that you love us so much. And, oh, God, how blessed that we are to be your children, to have the grace extended to us, Lord, to have this revelation of this end time word, Lord. So many think that they're serving you, Lord, but Father, they don't even know who you are. But God, you selected a bride, and I'm so privileged, and my brothers and sisters here are so privileged to be a part of it. Father, we know that all we must need do is make our requests known to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. And Lord, we've read these requests over the pulpit, Lord, so many different ones, the orphanage, the friend of the family, Lord, the ones that are sick and in the hospital. And Father, this young child that was born into the world without a mother now. And Lord, I pray that you'd bear that child up and give him strength, Lord, and watch over that child. And help him to grow into the knowledge and stature of the perfect man of Jesus Christ. Be his constant friend and companion, Lord, throughout his life. Father, each one, each need is serious, and each request on each heart, Lord, no doubt even more serious, Father, those things that cannot be spoken but are held in our hearts. Father, you know these things. Oh God, we ask for your mighty hand of deliverance to be in each, to be extended to the request on each heart today, Lord. Now, Father, we invite your presence to be here in this service. Lord, we desire it. Father, we need it, Lord. Father, the hour is late and we're looking for your coming to be very soon, Lord. But there's many things that still must be required of us, that still must be changed and corrected in us. Lord, you're coming for a church that looks exactly like you, that the top of that stone must be cut exactly the way you, so that when the capstone comes down, it's a perfect fit. Father, cut us and work on us this morning. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all things. Now move in our midst, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, saints. We're going to read the 59th chapter. It's 5:9. This morning we'll read the entirety. It's 17 verses. It's good to be home. It's a fast trip, but it was a good trip. And we got in around 2:15, I think, this morning, all of us. And a little tired, but it was worth it. We really enjoyed it. And I was thinking while Brother Trevor was praying there, we think we have it rough over here sometimes, that when you hear about what's going on in places over in Africa or India and what they go through and what a struggle it is just to get the message. I think I'll relate one to him, if that's all right. The brother said it's the dialects over there vary so much. They said you can be in one village and they'll have one dialect. And Brother Trevor's shaking his head. And you can go just a few kilometers or miles or whatever you want to call it to the next village, and that village can't hardly understand the other village. Their language is so much different. So you see the difficulty in getting the message out in maybe not in a major dialect, I mean language, excuse me, but dialects, because they can vary from village to village to village. And if the brother travels from one village, and he may have a translator if he don't know the dialect, and he goes to another village, he's got to find another translator to be able to talk to those people. And it may not be 5 miles away, maybe not that much, and the dialect is that bad. And then you talk about the roads and the churches. We've seen a picture of a church, and I told the brother, I said, I've been down into Central America and so forth, and it's bad down there compared to what we have here, but it's nothing compared to what they don't have over in India and in certain places in Africa. And little pastor, this thing keeps jumping on me. This pastor said he traveled 14 hours. Now, this isn't like getting out here on the interstate and traveling 14 hours. This is 14 hours over dirt, pothole-ridden, muddy trails, and may not even be able to hardly get a car through it, let alone travel 14 hours just to baptize somebody. And then it was 14 hours back. So when we have trouble, and I'm not slamming, I'm going to have to do something with this. Keeps kicking back to another page. Maybe I'm touching it wrong. Like some preachers do the message, they click it over to the wrong page. Now see, there it goes again. If it does that in the middle of a paragraph, I want to be... Somebody want to lay hands on this? Brother Trevor, you want to pray for this thing?
Having troubles,
brother? Oh, I always have troubles. But I know who the one. Maybe if I don't touch it, it won't do that. Thank you, brother. I'll just do. Maybe I'll be safe. Is that big enough for me to see?
Swipe it.
Okay, I can handle that. Wow. But no, sincerely though, when we have trouble, and we all do at times, getting up in the morning and getting in a decent car. Maybe it's not a $50,000 vehicle. Maybe it's only five or whatever, or 750. But it'll drive down the road, and we I got to get up and go to church this morning, and I'm so tired. And those people will get up and travel for miles walking through the animals. And they said in one place, this talking about this brother said, when they come in and you go to preach, they have to have a dozen dogs outside of this little so-called cabin, and all it is a mud hut. At the door to keep the animals, the wild animals, away. Because if they just had two or three dogs, the animals would get the dogs. So they put a dozen of them out there, and that keeps the animals, the wild animals, at bay because they've got a dozen dogs to go through. Can you imagine being a missionary in that and laying down to sleep at night? You better know God sent you. So I've done a little missionary work, but I haven't been in that bad. It's been bad enough for me, but... You know, God is good to us, and He knows who to send and where to send them. I appreciate the fact that my brother Trevor went over there and gave his time and his effort to further the gospel. And, you know, if his whole trip helped, and I'll say it because I say it many times. I don't mean to keep you standing, but forgive me, Brother Bryant. And but if he went over there and he helped one person, I don't care if it cost him $5,000 or $1,000 or whatever. I don't know what trips over there. I know about what they can cost. But the point being, if you help one soul, it's worth 10,000 worlds.
Amen.
So all the inconvenience and his family missing him, and I think, and so forth, and being away from home and sleeping on a who knows what on the ground or some so-called hammock or some stick bed or whatever it is, and you get up sore and you didn't sleep well and it's hot and the food could leave a lot to be desired. We're not going down here to Arby's or Zaxby's or Cheddar's or someplace, you know, and you're eating what the sister had to fix, and it may not have been much and it may not agree with you very well. When you get home, believe me, I used to come back from El Salvador. I didn't complain about the roads very much up here. I do now because I haven't been down in a while. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying. We appreciate these things our brothers over there are going through and what it takes for them to carry this message to another village or another, what do they call them over there? Not states, but regions or province. Yeah, there we go. Like I said, so, you know, it takes a lot for even the local evangelists or missionaries, the ones that live there, let alone some of us people from here with our comfort and this, our being spoiled as we are, and I'm spoiled, I admit it, and go over there and you realize what your brothers and sisters go through. You realize how wonderful. But you know what I found out, and Brother Trevor can witness to this, having been over, it's the same God over there as it is here. Same God. They believe the same message. They have the same love. They want the same thing that we want, and that's the truth.
Amen.
They don't want you to come in and preach false doctrine. They want to hear the truth,
Amen.
And they want you to love them, and they love you, and they give you everything they've got. And they don't have much, but they would give it. So it really humbles you when you think of that. All right, forgive me for being so long and keeping you standing. Forgive me, Pastor. I didn't mean to get so far out of line. All right, let's read the 59th. We're going to read it in the entirety, if I can keep up here. Believe it or not, now mine's laying there being haved, so. Okay, we'll try and keep up with it. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me.
Deliver me from the words of iniquity, and save me from
the land. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah.
There is none in the evening that bend the voice like a dog and go round about the city.
Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear?
But thou, O Lord,
because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense.
God, my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies.
Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah.
And that evening let them return, and let them
Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. God bless you. Please be seated.
This time we have a special from Brother Elijah Nicholson and Sister Stephanie Nicholson.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice to the same old lies. Trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. A chain breaker. We will search for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, when there's a better life, you got lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody test.
That this morning. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand together? If the brothers would come at this time, why don't we sing that together if you know it?
If you've got pain, he's a pain taker.
Amen. Why don't we sing this together? Amen. I'm not preaching this morning. I knew I was going to be tired. I knew we were going to have a time change. So I told Brother Hoover, I said, I was born at night, but not last night. So I asked him if he'd preach for us this morning. He's tired too. We had a long trip, and Sister Jeannie told him, she said, you treat Brother Layton and Brother Nathan nice, but our wives didn't tell us that about him. So we had a good time. And it was a good trip. But the Lord blessed. The meetings were wonderful. Brother Layton was sharing some of the things. He apologized for taking the time, but it was just, it was really thrilling to see some of the things that the Lord is doing. The brothers really had a good time of fellowship, felt like the spirit was kept right. And Brother Barry Coffey was showing us some pictures of Tanzania, and there was a little church there where they were meeting, that it was just twigs, literally, about the size of a garage shed that they were meeting in. It was just about this high, so the pastor would have to sit in a chair. He couldn't even stand up to preach. And we're blessed. There was a little sister there that got a burden on her heart because of this situation. And so she started going, and in the fields where they would have different things there, she would begin to go like Ruth in the Bible and glean behind them. And when she'd get a certain amount of kilos of the things that she was gleaning, she would take it into the town and trade it for a brick, and she'd bring it back. And they showed a picture of a church building that she built one brick at a time that way. Doesn't have a roof on it. And Brother Hoover and I both immediately thought, in our mind as he's showing this, I wonder how much it would cost to get a roof for them. You know, we were going to send money and take care of it, or get some brothers together and do it. And Brother Barry said, when I was over there, I asked him, can we, you know, get you some money or things to take care of the roof? And she said, Brother Barry, she said, if we have a roof, she said, what good would it do us? They don't have a pastor right now. They just have visiting ministers. She said, we'll take care of the roof. You just pray that God sends us a minister. I thought, what wisdom for a little lady over in Africa somewhere. They don't have a roof, but they don't care about that. They want God to send them a man that can teach them the word. We're blessed. We're blessed. We got a roof over our head, shoes on our feet, food on our table. Oh, we're blessed this morning. Let's sing this together. Let's change it to G. I changed my mind. What am I saying? Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. For every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. If you got health in your body, oh, I am blessed. Lord, I'm so blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, oh, if you've got the token applied over your home, you're blessed this morning. Oh, yes, church, we are blessed. We're so blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, if you feel His presence this morning, you're blessed. I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Every day that I live. Hallelujah.
Brother Nathan telling about that little sister. I don't know if he told this part. I didn't hear every bit of it, but her husband was a Muslim.
No, go ahead, brother.
Her husband was a Muslim. And somebody told her about the message of Jesus Christ, about God sent a prophet in this day and age, and she accepted it. So her husband tried to poison her. He put poison in her food and things, and she ate it. And it didn't bother her at all. Her family, his family, tried to help him. And she uses a stove to cook on that takes a certain fuel. It doesn't ignite, but it just burns so that you can cook on it. Well, they took that fuel out, and they put a flammable substance in. And so when she come in to fix supper, they were waiting for her to push the button and ignite it, and the stove was going to blow up. And the brother telling the story said, because that's how you kill people if you... you know, want it to be an accident. And she goes to push the button, and something stops her hand. And she takes the cap off of the fuel tank and smells it and realizes it's a flammable substance and takes it out and pours it out and puts the right stuff in.
Hallelujah.
And her husband converted and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're blessed this morning.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has been so good to us.
Yes.
I met Brother Joe Dalton. You can be seated for a minute. I'm sorry. Met Brother Joe Dalton down there, and he kept saying this one statement over and over. And I'm slow sometimes. It took me about the fifth or sixth time to realize what he was actually saying. And what it meant to him. And he told us about how Brother Branham was introduced into his life, and Brother Branham made Jesus Christ so real that it converted the entire Dalton family. And he said, it saved my entire family. And he would be there and he'd say, "Boys, I'm telling you, he gave us the best he had."
That's right.
And I'm trying to figure out how that fit into Brother Branham's life, you know, because he's testifying about things that he saw in Brother Branham's ministry. And then he'd go on a little bit and he goes, "I'm telling you, he gave us the best he had. I'm telling you, we got the best there was." And then all of a sudden I realized he's not talking about Brother Branham. He's talking about what God did in his life and that God sent him a prophet. And that was the best that God could do for him. God, he gave us the best he had, folks. And I'm here this morning as a witness that we got the best that there is.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about just a message book or a tape, or I'm not talking about just a picture on a wall. I'm talking about the very life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why he came.
Amen.
Because we needed someone to show us that there's a Jesus Christ that lives and rules and reigns in a person's heart.
Amen.
So a little sister over in Africa, his husband couldn't kill her because she had eternal life.
Amen.
And her husband needed eternal life. And the only way he was going to get free from those Muslim chains was he was going to have to see a real Jesus Christ lived out before him.
Amen.
Mm. My. All right, I just want to sing a song before we start. Hopefully it'll help me just relax. I'm just real nervous. You just pray for me.
Does that lady need it right here? Any key, as long as it's in play.
Is that wedding music I hear? Oh, the bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heaven. Celebration. Oh, is that wedding
was waiting for the signal when her groom says, "Rise, my children, come on in." Oh, is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Oh, is that wedding music that I hear? Soon we'll rise to leave this land of sorrow for that ceremony in the air. If you haven't, oh, is that wedding music I hear? Oh, the bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration.
Amen. I sing, every time I sing that song, I think about all the preparation that goes into it, all the practice. You know, you have to have the rehearsal and all the months of, you know, getting ready for a ceremony that doesn't take that long. You know, and I remember standing at the altar of that church in Bedford, Indiana, almost 40 years ago. And I look down the aisle, and here comes the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And she's getting ready to say, "I do," that she'll be mine forever. And just before her father starts to walk her down the aisle, her sister's standing there next to her. And I watched. I didn't have to hear what she said. I could tell. She turned, and she asked her sister, she said, "Is everything okay?" She didn't want to walk down that aisle to meet me unless everything was just right. I don't want to go meet him if everything's not all right. But we're being dressed for a wedding. We're being dressed for a wedding supper. We're being dressed to be presented as Mrs. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, I just got to share a testimony. I'm done, musicians. Thank you very much. I just have to share this little testimony with you before I actually start. This does not count on my preaching time. I used to tell Timothy, my middle son, he would always time me. And as soon as I got out of the pulpit, we'd get outside and he'd say, "Dad, hour and 15 minutes. You probably could have said it in 35. I said, "Son, you started timing as soon as I came to the pulpit, but I was testifying for the first part. I didn't take my text. You can't start timing me till I take my text." So, anyway, Sister Jeannie and I, we went out to eat the other day, and we went to this restaurant down at Corden. We didn't realize it when we went, but they was having it was a special that day, or it's once a week if you want to go and take advantage of it, but it was free pie. You ordered your entree and you ate, and then everybody in the party got a free piece of pie, and you could either get it to go or you could eat it there. And I was too full, so I said, "I want it to go." She said, "Well, what kind do you want?" And Sister Jeannie said, "I want an apple pie." I said, "I want a French silk." And so she looks over at Sister Jeannie and she says, "Apple, you said?" And Sister Jeannie said, "Yes." So she went and got busy with another table, and she come back by and she goes, "That was apple, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And so she brought the boxes, and handed it to me in a bag, and I took it, put it in the car. And all during the day, the rest of the afternoon, we went to the library, I believe it was, and then we came to church that night. And so I'm sitting here, Brother Nathan's preaching, and I was thinking about that pie. I'm talking about expectations. I'm trying to show you something here. So I had this expectation. I could taste that French silk pie. And it was good. And I couldn't wait. So we get home that night, and I take the bag in the house, and I set it down, and I open it up, and I open the first one, and there's a piece of apple pie in there. And I'm going, all right, that's Sister Jeannie's. And I open up the other one, and there's an apple pie in there.
If you'd have paid attention to the service, God wouldn't change that.
Talk about an expectation, Brother Jimmy, that was just unmet. And the reason I tell you that is, I know you all came this morning with an expectation.
Amen.
You was hoping for French silk pie to preach to you. But anyway, I do have something that the Lord's laid on my heart, and I just want to present it, hopefully, as He's presented it to me. I was telling Brother Anthony the other day, when you're an evangelist, when you're not the pastor, you don't get to do series. Because you might have to come back 6 months and get part two. But I have enough hay on the fork today for a series, but I'm going to try to make it just one. If you'll stand with me, we'll turn in our Bibles to Proverbs, the 30th chapter. I want to read there, and then I also want to read in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Starting with the 18th verse, we'll read verses 18 and 19. And just before we read, let's bow our heads and go to Him and ask His blessing. Heavenly Father, we stand here before the purchase of Your precious shed blood. Heavenly Father, there's not a one of us in this room this morning that's worthy of that blood. But You said all we had to do was accept it, and it would make us worthy to come and stand in Your presence. And Lord, we've come this morning because there's a hunger, there's a desire down inside of us, Lord. We want to be more like You. We want to be that bride that's ready. We want to check our garments this morning and make sure that there's nothing of this earth and this world that's attached to us, that, Lord, we're prepared to come into Your presence and be the bride that You want us to be. I ask that You would just take this flesh body that's standing here behind this desk and just move me out of the way. And, Lord, just as You did for Brother Nathan at the meeting yesterday, Lord, may we just forget that it's David Hoover and we realize that Jesus Christ is actually speaking right now. And He's trying to communicate with the love of His soul, the love of His very heart's desire is for a bride. And Lord, He's telling us, He's whispering secrets in our ears as what He wants out of us and what He expects out of us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to just lay aside every thought of man, every idea of man, and just hear the very thoughts and the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This may seem like a odd scripture to start with, but I just was thinking about it, and My title this morning will be Divine Romance. Divine Romance. And the writer here says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Now let's turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And we'll read just 2 verses. We're going to use more verses than this, but I'm trying to not make you stand so long. Verse 31 in Ephesians 5 reads like this. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Divine romance. Brother Branham said in a message entitled Jehovah Jireh number 3, he said, if God could give a man anything, he said, outside, let me just read it. He's talking about his wife. He said, she's a very dear person, my wife. If there's any credit to give to the Branham family, let it go to her. She's the one that stood between me and the public. And all the things that's been done right, she's done it. I hope that every young man here, now don't let this just be for 1962, okay? I hope that every young man here, when he gets married, he'll get a wife, and you'll live as happy together as wife and I have these 22 years that we've been married. He goes on to say, he who has found a wife has found a good thing. As Solomon said, a good woman is a jewel in a man's crown. An unrighteous one is water in his blood. And his bloodstream is his life. So an unrighteous one is the worst thing he can get a hold of. And a righteous one is the best thing he can get a hold of outside of salvation. If God could have given a man a better thing than a wife, he would have given it to him. Because God just gives his children the good things. Now some of you sisters ought to say amen to that right there. That's pretty good words from a person that they said was a woman hater. If God could have given you anything better than a wife, he would have. But he gave you a wife. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, okay, you're thinking of that wife that's sitting beside you, or that wife that's gone on to glory, or that wife that you're going to have one of these days. But think about it. If God's prophet could speak to us on tape and tell us that the best thing that God could give us outside of salvation was a wife, and Paul comes along and he says, behold, it's a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Yes.
If Jesus Christ could have created for himself anything better, he would have. But he wanted a bride.
Amen.
We're the greatest thing that Jesus Christ could desire.
Think about
it. A divine romance. Now I want just ask you to give me a little bit of liberty this morning, but and keep this in mind. I want you to keep this thought in mind throughout this entire message that I'm trying to bring to you. We know that God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. We know that he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere.
Yes.
And we know that he's omniscient. That means he knows everything.
Yes.
God never had to learn 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
He never had to take the test over in school. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. He doesn't make mistakes. I think it was Brother Nathan that said in the meeting yesterday, he said, if I was to build something, if I was to try to construct something with my hands, he said, it would be a mess. He said, but if I did it like 12 times, the 12th one would be better than the first one.
Right.
But then he went on to say, but God never had to correct himself. He never had to learn a better way.
Amen.
His first thought was his best thought. And you and I was in his first thought. Think about it. You had to go find a wife. You brothers that are sitting here, you had to go find a wife, and then you had to convince her to be your wife. Amen. I'll just say this. Some of you are very good salespeople. Me included. But God's omniscient. He knows everything. We struggle with it. We can't hardly wrap this little carnal mind around it, this human mind around it. But before you were born, for you sisters, before you were born, God already knew who your husband was going to be. I know it stressed you out. I know it stresses us guys out to think, you know, Lord, help me find the right one. But God already knew it. He never lost a minute's sleep over who you were going to marry. It was settled. He watched you struggle. He watched you growing up. Now think about this. God knowing everything. Here's a young man. We'll call him David. He's born into a family. Mommy and daddy take him to church, take him to Sunday school, teach him the truth. Teach him, you know, that he's supposed to be respectful and all these things. And they send him to school so he'll be educated and he'll be able to get a job and provide for a family and everything. That's what your mom and dads are doing. They're preparing you for later in life. They're preparing you so that you can be a mom and a dad and you can provide for a family. And so God had this young man by the name of David born into this certain home. It wasn't a mistake. And so he had this young man brought up in the church. And this young man got up and he decided he was going to go to college one day. And meanwhile, the whole time that he's being raised and he's being brought up, over here, maybe on the other side of the earth, because we went through the Billy Graham Library while we were down there, and they told the story about how Billy was born in North Carolina and his wife was born in China to a missionary family. But then they showed how God had prepared her to be the perfect mate for his ministry and what he was going to be called to do. And so I don't know where this young lady was born, but we're going to call her Savannah. All right? And she's raised in a home, and she's taught by parents, and she's brought up, and she decides to go to college. Now, neither one of these individuals understood exactly what was going on, and I know this because I asked him. All right? No, it's all right. And so here's David. He goes away to college. And he really doesn't understand why he chose that college.
Right.
And lo and behold, she decides to go to the same college. Now, mom and dad could be stressed out. Oh, my goodness. Why are they going there? Why are they going so far away from home? And they're not going to be able to come home every weekend. And I'm not going to be able to go down there and check on them and make sure that they're doing okay and everything. In the meantime, here's David just walking around campus. And one day he walks by. I don't know how it happened. Could have been in the cafeteria. Could have been on campus. I don't know. I don't have the details on that. You all can ask them later. All right? But all of a sudden, he's walking down the sidewalk or something, and there stands this girl. Now, let me just ask this question. Were you in the same class, or did you arrive at campus after he did? Huh?
After,
okay. So he's got a whole year or so that he's just wandering around lost, okay? He's going to class. He's playing games with his buddies. He's doing all this stuff. He has no idea what's getting ready to happen. Some of you all are relating to this. And lo and behold, he walks along, and all of a sudden he sees this girl. Now, how many years were you there? 1 year or 2 years before she came along? 3 years. Okay? For 3 years, there's been girls on campus. There's been lots of girls. Right, David? There's been a vast array of girls. And nothing's happened. He's just walked around campus. And mom's at home stressing out. But God's just sitting back going, everything's right on schedule. Because he has a purpose for being here, and she has a purpose for being here. And at the appointed time, on God's schedule, their paths cross. Now, he still doesn't understand what's going on. And she might not have even understood what's going on. But he has now seen this young lady. And out of the millions of young ladies on the face of the earth, there's just something about her that the next day, after he inquires and find out what classes she's in and what dorm she's in and all this, his normal way of going from one class to the other is to just go in a straight line between the classes. But he understands that her classroom is over on this side of campus, and so that day he just decides, I'll go this way to class. Now, I don't know how many times that he interacted with her. I haven't got to get to details, and I'm just trying to show you an example. I don't know how many times that God had to put her along his path before something happened. And he realized, this girl's different, this girl's special. But God caused them to interact until his purpose was brought to pass. And now they're husband and wife. And they're happy. They're happy. All right. Why? Because they're fulfilling. Just by the simple act of falling in love and being married, they're fulfilling God's purpose in their life. And you young men that are sitting here, it may not have happened yet, but there's going to come a time when there's going to be something down inside of you that you're going to desire one young lady. And young lady, there's something down inside of you that's going to awaken, and you're going to want to be somebody's wife. Because you're designed that way by your Creator. It's part of His master plan. And you stress about it, and you worry about it, and you get acne, and you get all these things and everything. And you think, you know, you look in the mirror and you go, how's anybody ever going to be attracted to me? This one's so pretty, and this one's so handsome, and this one's so athletic, and this one's got such talent and everything. And here I am, just plain Jane me. Don't worry. God's got it all under control. And the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Now, I know from talking to Brother David that there was a time in his life he didn't have a clue why he went to that college. To get an education. Well, sure. But see, God had more for him than an education there.
Amen.
And we can see that, right? Everybody understands where I'm going with that. Okay, so now, we don't know how many times he walked by before something clicked. Okay? We don't know how many times she had to rearrange her schedule so she would be in a certain spot so that he would have to walk by. I'm speaking concerning Christ in the church. Okay? God, who was never clueless like Brother David was at one time. And I'm not picking on him, okay? Every one of us brothers was clueless at one point in our life.
Sure.
Our dads threw their hands up in the air and said, I don't know what I'm going to do with the boy. I've tried. But God had a master plan one day. And in that master plan, God said, I'm going to have fellowship. And I'm going to have fellowship for a purpose. I want sons and daughters. I want a bride that can reproduce me.
Amen.
Now let's go to another story in the Bible for just a few moments and talk about it. Let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Remember, God's all-knowing. He knows everything. Nothing gets by him. He's all-powerful. And he's everywhere. And the Bible teaches us that the Word of God will never, ever, ever go forth without producing the intended result. It never comes back to God void. And so God laid on the heart of the man in the 12th chapter of, well, let's back up into the 11th chapter of Genesis for a moment. There was a family. And the father's name was Terah, T-E-R-A-H. And Terah had a desire one day. He didn't understand what was going on. But he had a desire one day. He didn't want to live in Ur of the Chaldees anymore. He wanted to go to Canaan. Let's read it. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. So there was a desire. He didn't know where the desire came from, but there was a desire in Abram's father to go to Canaan. But he never made it. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. But God wasn't done yet. And so God comes along. In the 12th chapter, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God speaks this word to Abram. Remember, the word of God cannot go forth and come back to him void. It has to accomplish what it was sent for. And so we have this promise laying there. Abram is not capable of producing the promise. He is not capable of fulfilling the promise. The only thing he has to do is believe the promise. That's his only responsibility. He tries to produce the promise and he utterly fails. He tries to help God as if God needed help, but God doesn't need his help. God come down and visited with him later and basically said, Abram, I got this. Quit. Stop. Let me handle it. So there was a promise. I'm going to bless you. God comes along in Genesis, the 17th chapter. If you'll turn with me very quickly. Genesis 17. And God adds, he doesn't change the promise. God doesn't ever change his word. But he can take his word and he can magnify it. And he can let you know more details of the promise that he's made. And so God comes down and he says, Abram, I know you're struggling with this. I know you're trying to help me. I know you're trying to do this of yourself. But let me just tell you, I'm going to shed a little bit more light on it. And he says, And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. So first God says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. And every one of us is living out that same promise that he gave to Abraham. When you're standing here, I'll just use Brother Furman. Brother Furman comes and stands behind this pulpit, and sometimes I know from experience that his knees have to be knocking. But he's fulfilling that word that was given to Abraham, or to Abram at the time. God says, Furman, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. Amen. Okay? And so Brother Furman comes and stands, and he begins to sing. And he doesn't put on a show, and he doesn't try to get us all worked up. He just comes and does what God has blessed him to do. And he raises his hands, and he begins to worship, and he leads us in worship. And all of a sudden, the devils are driven out. That enemy that you were fighting on the way to church, that spirit that had a hold of your wife and was making her cantankerous, they just get up and they walk out the door. They flee from the presence of God. They can't stand under they can't handle the presence of God. And then all of a sudden, the sweet Holy Spirit comes down and begins to bathe you in His presence. And you go, Brother Furman, I sure appreciate that song you sung.
Amen.
Why? Because God blessed him with that talent, and he in turn is blessing you with it. And so God gives this promise to Abraham, or Abram, and then he comes along and he says, I'm not only going to bless you and make you a blessing, I'm going to do it exceedingly.
Amen.
And so Brother Furman gets up here and sings, and the Holy Spirit comes upon Brother Jimmy. And Brother Jimmy gets blessed exceedingly.
Amen.
And he gets out here and he dances.
Right.
And we look at it and we go, wow. But that's God's word being manifested through Brother Jimmy.
Amen.
And he wants to do that for every one of us that's sitting here.
Yes.
He has a desire. Brother Branham said he's trying to give it to you he's more willing to give it to you than you are to receive the blessing. There's a promise of the Holy Ghost. Some of you don't have the Holy Ghost. I understand that. And you have a desire for the Holy Ghost. Let me just tell you this morning. God's more willing to give it to you than you are to receive it. If you'll just let Brother Furman sing the right song, Brother Nathan preach the right thing, God will pour it upon you exceedingly. You won't be able to contain it all. So he tells Abram now, I'm going to do this exceedingly. Abram goes, hold on a minute, God. Last time I checked, I got one child, and you won't even recognize him. And I got this Eliezer, the steward of my house. And again, God's attitude toward his word is not affected by your attitude toward his word. If God says he's going to bless you, you're going to get a blessing.
Amen.
David says in the Psalms, it's one of my favorite verses, Psalms 58, I believe it's 17, but that's not etched in stone. But anyway, he says, he daily loadeth us with benefits. Now, I read that scripture, and here's my mental picture. Every morning in heaven, God says to one of the angels, I want you to go down to 9694 South Horner Chapel Road. I want you to pull up in the driveway. I want you back up to the door, front door. I want you to raise the back door on your heaven's delivery truck. And I want you to unload everything that you've got on David and Jeannie Hoover. In the meantime, David and Jeannie Hoover are sitting in the house, and we're going, oh, I don't feel so good this morning. Guess what? It doesn't matter how you feel.
Amen.
All you got to do is listen to that still small voice going,
amen.
Beep, 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 beep.
Amen.
You're getting a delivery.
Amen.
Because God's word said he was going to daily load you with benefits.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, if you were going to take a job, I'm way off my notes, but this is just, y'all are pulling this. If you're going to take a job, one of the things you're going to want to know is, what are my benefits? Brother Branham said it this way. He said, if I inherited an inheritance, somebody gave me a storehouse or they gave me a piece of property, he said, the first thing I would do, he said, I would walk every inch of that property.
Right.
He said, I'd climb up to the highest shelf and I'd open up every box and I would explore what my inheritance was.
Amen.
And God says, I want to daily load you with benefits.
Amen.
You'd ask that boss, what are my benefits? What's the benefit of me working for you? Well, I'm giving you a paycheck. Yeah, I know, but what's the benefit? Well, you're going to be able to pay your bills. I understand, but what's the benefits? I want to know all my benefits. I want to know when they start. I want to know how much of my family's included in the benefits. I want to know everything about my benefits. And yet, we sit back impoverished sometimes with our arms crossed. I don't think that he really can. I know God can do it, but will he do it?
Think about that.
Why don't you just open up the box and look inside what was delivered to you this morning?
Amen.
Why don't you get excited because the truck's pulling up in the driveway and the angel's raising the door and he's saying, open up, I got stuff for you. He blesses you materially, but not just material blessings, but I've got spiritual blessings.
Amen.
Look, here's a box that contains my heavenly presence. I'm going to let you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's in the daily benefits.
Amen.
So why are you worried about that pain that you have? Because part of the benefits is, I'm going to heal all your diseases.
Amen.
I got to get back over to Isaac and Rebecca somehow, but anyway. I don't know who that's for, but somebody was pulling on that hard. My, daily loads you with benefits.
Amen.
Next time you see a sister down, next time you see a brother discouraged, just walk up to him and go, beep, 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 beep. It's yours. It's yours.
Amen.
There have been times UPS has brought me the wrong thing. It was for somebody else. But listen, God's heavenly delivery service doesn't ever get to the wrong address.
That's right.
And doesn't ever fail to make the delivery.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right, so God gives this promise to Abram. And he says exceedingly. And Abram doesn't see exceedingly. But that doesn't change the fact that God said exceedingly.
Amen.
Abram's just like, Lord, one child would be good. If you just give me one, we got to start somewhere. Give me one. And so we go on to, now let's go to Genesis, the 24th chapter. Isaac's arrived. Abraham and Sarah, they had the body change. Isaac comes along. Abraham's asked to go up on the mountain and sacrifice Isaac. We all know how God provided. Daily benefits.
Amen.
Daily benefits. And so it comes time for God, who never forgets what he's promised and will never allow one of his promises to fall unfulfilled.
Amen.
So God begins to move on Abraham and say, you remember that promise I told you about exceedingly? I want you to call Eliezer in here. And I want you to send him down to where you came out of, the land you came out of. And I want him to bring back a bride for Isaac. Isaac, that morning, the Bible says he was 40 years old. Okay? I don't think he was quite as bad as some of us walking around like, da, 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 you know. But Isaac didn't have any idea what was getting ready to happen. He had no idea the package that was getting ready to be delivered to him. And so Eliezer goes to get a bride for Isaac. And we understand the instructions that was given to him. They were specific instructions. Don't take a wife for my son out of these Canaanites, these people that indwell Canaan. Go back down to my kindred and get one of those young ladies. And bring her here. And I want her to be the bride for Isaac. God says this. Yeah. Abraham has a desire, but Abraham's just acting out the desire of God. Now something beautiful is getting ready to happen. First of all, do you realize they weren't message believers in Haran? So there was no youth camp that he could go to in Haran and find one of those little Holy Ghost filled girls and get her. You know where he had to go get a little heathen girl. Because Abraham came up, Brother Branham said he was a heathen and God called him out. And so, wow. God sent an Eliezer to go down amongst the heathen and call out a bride and bring her back and present her to Isaac. I don't know how many idols she might have had on her bookshelf with her dolls and all of her other trinkets. But she did have one thing. And it was the only thing that Eliezer was required to look for.
Yes, think about it.
He was not told, make sure she don't have any paint on her face. Make sure she's not smoking cigarettes. I'm going somewhere with this, just bear with me. Some of you think I'm off on false doctrine right now. I'm not. Make sure she don't have any earrings in her ears. Make sure this, make sure that, make sure... The only thing Eliezer said was, I got to find somebody that's got character. The rest of it will take care of itself. I'm just looking for character. Some of you are sitting here and you don't realize that you qualify to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Because you can't quit doing this and you still got this in your life and you still got that in your life. Only thing God's looking for is he's looking down past all that muck and that mire and those things of this world, and he's asking, does she have character?
Amen.
Is she moldable? Is she willing to listen to my voice and obey me?
Yes.
And so Eliezer comes along and he goes to the house and he's got gifts.
Glory.
He's got gifts. Now, I don't believe that Rebecca was able to understand everything about Isaac at first glance. She never met him. She didn't know what he looked like. She didn't know anything. She didn't even know there was an Isaac. But this man's got gifts. You didn't understand serpent seed. You didn't understand the rapture. You didn't understand anything. But you saw a gift one day. And the man that was being used by that gift said, I've come to get you as a bride for Jesus Christ. And when he told you, you might have been sitting there with pants on. You might have been sitting there, men with long hair. You might have had a cigarette in your hand. I don't know where you were when you heard Eliezer's voice for the first time. But something struck. There's a gift. I've never seen a gift like that. This is neat. And Eliezer said, this is just a portion.
Come on.
This is not the whole package. This is just a portion. This is just a preview of what Isaac's really like.
Yes. Amen.
And upon that display of Eliezer presenting gifts, and he didn't just limit it to the bride, he gave gifts to her family. He gave gifts to the people that wasn't even message believers. We have trouble with that. We want to monopolize it. He gave gifts to the Pentecostals. He gave gifts to the Assembly of God. He gave gifts He gave gifts. I better be careful. He gave gifts to people that weren't even in your camp when you realized that there was a camp that you were part of within the message. And upon the display of those gifts, they said, Eliezer said to her family, her parents said, I need this girl to go with me to be this bride for Isaac. And they said, well, we need to, she's got to ask that. She's got to answer that. Brother Nathan, it wasn't up to his mom and dad whether he was going to be a pastor, whether he was going to be a member of the Bride of Jesus Christ. They had a desire for him to be, but he had to answer for himself one day. And so do you. And Rebecca said, based only upon seeing the gifts and hearing Eliezer's voice, she said, I will go.
Amen.
And her brother said, are you insane? You're going to follow this man that won't even spend an extra night in dad's house? And you're going to go to some land you've never even been to and marry some guy you've never seen? Are you crazy? And you couldn't explain it to your family either when they said, you believe what? God sent what? You heard the voice of who? You're going to be, what's this bride thing? How come my preacher doesn't preach about the bride? And in spite of everything that her family said, she said, I will go. And I believe that if Isaac had seen her right then, well, let me just say it this way. If Abraham had seen her right then, Abraham would probably not have said, yeah, she looks like what I want for Isaac's wife. Mm-hmm. But there was a trip. There was some time between when she said, I will go, and when she got to Isaac. And all along that route, I don't know how many days it was. It says it's a far country. I don't know how many days it was. But every day, Eliezer, tell me what Isaac's like.
Amen.
Eliezer, what kind of girls is Isaac interested in? What would Isaac want me to wear? What would Isaac want me to act like?
Think about it.
I want to know everything I can about Isaac, Eliezer.
Yeah.
Eliezer, tell me more.
Amen.
Tell me more.
Hallelujah.
I have to hit play because I can't hear enough about what Isaac is really like and what he wants and what he expects.
Glory.
And so all along the trip, now she had some handmaids with her. And they sure didn't have any idea what was going on. Because Rebecca was just this little girl, and she was one of their buddies, and they text back and forth, and they talked about boys, and they talked about this and that and the other and everything. And along the trip, all of a sudden, they begin to notice a change in Rebecca.
Right.
Rebecca, how come you're wearing that outfit? Well, I was listening to Eliezer the other day, and he said that he would help me get dressed so that I could meet Isaac.
Yes.
And this is what he said Isaac likes. Well, that's kind of fuddy-duddy, Rebecca. I like that other outfit that you wore. Yeah, I understand, but Isaac doesn't like that.
Oh,
man. Isaac this, and Isaac that, and Isaac this, and Isaac... Eliezer said this, and Eliezer said that. I get so tired of hearing you talk about this Eliezer guy and all he said. I hear him. I listen to him. He was talking around the campfire last night whenever we stopped for the night. I'm not going to go change my dress because of Eliezer and what he said. But there was something down in Rebecca.
Yes.
She was willing to drop everything to meet Isaac's expectations. And she didn't look like bride when she started on the journey. And she might not have looked like bride 2 days into the journey. And she might not have been everything that Isaac expected halfway through the journey. But there came a day. Isaac, he's out in the field. I don't know how many days he'd went to that field before. I have a comprehension that Abraham had told Isaac, this is what I've sent Eliezer to do. Isaac wasn't clueless. And Isaac's praying. He's out in the field. He's meditating and he's praying and he's going, Lord, I ask that you bless Eliezer and help him find exactly the right girl, the right wife for me. Lord, let her be everything that I want her to be whenever she gets here. And so one day they top the horizon and they start down through this little valley. And Rebecca sees Isaac for the first time. Yes. And all of a sudden her little handmaid friends didn't matter a bit to her. She gets off that camel and she's got one goal in mind. That's Isaac. I'm going to find out everything. I'm going to find out if it's as good as Eliezer told me. You know what's interesting? I'm just going to throw this in. It's interesting. There's no place in the scripture where it ever says that Rebecca bowed down and said, oh, Eliezer, you are so special to me. You've done so much for me. Eliezer, let's just forget Isaac and I'll just marry you. I'll just worship you.
Amen.
Didn't happen.
Amen.
Eliezer wouldn't have allowed it.
Amen.
He was sent to get a bride for Isaac.
Amen.
And he was going to do what he was sent to do. And he wasn't going to be deterred. Robbers, thieves, it wasn't going to matter. Nothing was going to stop him from getting that bride and introducing her to Isaac. And the Bible says, now why did God do this? Think about this. Why did God take the time to send, how much time do I have? Oh my goodness.
Come on now.
It's only 15 till 12. I'll have you out of here by 3 o'clock. No.
Come on.
The purpose of the whole deal with Eliezer going to get a bride and bringing her back to Isaac was to fulfill the promise of God. And what was the promise of God? I want to bless you exceedingly.
Yes. Amen.
Isaac needed to reproduce himself. Isaac had to have offspring. I hope you're getting that. Why are there 1,200 and something messages? Why did a man go around the world 7 times? Why did all these people get raised from the dead? Why did miracle after miracle after miracle happen? Just to get the attention of Rebecca. Because Rebecca is necessary for Isaac to reproduce himself. I understand I'm in a mixed company. I'm trying to be careful here. But there's only one purpose for there to be a bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's not to elevate the bride of Jesus Christ and make her somebody that people would worship and people would marvel about. She's for one purpose. Now, I'm trying. Don't take this course like some people take it. She's there to reproduce Isaac.
Right.
To fulfill the promise that God gave to Abraham. And she did. Now here's the good part. We understand that Isaac and Rebekah had children. She was barren at first. Isaac besought the Lord and she was able to become pregnant. And she's got 2 children inside of her. And she couldn't understand it. Lord, why in the world? Why in the world would people get that out of listening to Eliezer's tapes? How could they come up with that doctrine? Why is there so much fighting inside of me? I don't understand all this this contention and everything. Eliezer told her, every revival produces twins, Rebecca. Don't worry about those two fighting within you. Don't worry about it. Your only duty is to reproduce a son for Isaac. You're to reproduce Isaac. And don't worry. I might have to run, Brother Nathan. Don't worry about the child that's going to come out first. Don't worry about the elder. Because I've already got it figured out. He's going to serve the younger. Don't worry about that flesh man. Don't worry about that intellectual part of the so-called bride of Jesus Christ. Don't worry that the word is producing something that you don't agree with, Rebecca, or that you don't think is exactly right. Don't worry about it. That's going to bow down eventually and serve the true promised seed. And I would say to the bride of Jesus Christ sitting before me this morning, don't worry about all the contention that's going on. Don't worry about the stink that you think is not of God and shouldn't be. Don't worry about it. There's twins. And the elder's going to serve the younger. And the one with the true character of God is going to come out ahead. Don't worry about it. Well, I just want to go shut that website down. Don't worry about that website. That's one of the twins. If that wasn't... Now listen, Brother Billy Paul, by his own word, his own testimony, said whenever he heard about people baptizing in his father's name, he said, I wanted to go stop them. But one good thing, he went and talked to Eliezer first. Amen. He said, Dad, do you know what they're doing? Do you know? Brother Bram said, son, don't worry about it. If those people weren't here, I'd have doubts about my own message. I'd have doubts about my calling. That's just one of the twins. Don't worry about it. That twin will eventually become subservient. And Jacob will get his inheritance. Billy Paul, you just make sure you're part of the inheritance. Don't let anything... Who was it, Brother Perry, that he sent him with? Sent Billy Paul with? He said, go and pray with him till he gets the Holy Ghost. Don't let anything stop him from getting the Holy Ghost. Billy Paul, don't worry about the other twin. Don't worry about the fighting. Don't worry about all this other stuff. You just make sure you get the inheritance. Don't let anything stop you from the Holy Ghost. Bride of Jesus Christ, don't worry about the infighting. Don't worry about the contentious spirits. Don't worry about all the evil and the lies and things that's being said. You just make sure you get that eternal life. You just make sure you get that promise. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The purpose of Eliezer going to get a bride for Isaac was so that Isaac could reproduce. Because Isaac all by himself, he couldn't do it. And Jesus Christ, in his master plan before the foundations of the world, before you were ever thought of, before you ever came into existence, Jesus Christ said, I am going to have a bride in the last day. And she is going to reproduce my very life on earth. That's why there's a tape. That's why there's a message book. That's why there's a pastor, an evangelist. Why? Because God's desire is for Himself to be reproduced through the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're sitting back, not being obedient, picking on some brother, picking on some doctrine, fuming and fussing and fighting. And God's like, right, just forget about all that other stuff. Just take my word. Take my word. Let me impregnate you with my word. Let me make you a spoken word bride of Jesus Christ, and it will produce my very life. Ishmael could not reproduce what God promised Abraham. He couldn't do it. No matter how much he tried, he couldn't do it. The only one that can do it is Isaac.
Amen.
And the bride will reproduce himself. What a divine romance. And you're sitting there worried about this situation, worried about that situation. I'm not worthy. I made a mistake today. I got to close. But let me just listen. I don't find anywhere in the scripture where Sister Rebecca ever went to Isaac on a daily basis and said, Isaac, I had a dream last night. Isaac, I got this mind battle. I don't know if I'm bride or not. It's not in the scripture. So whenever that thought comes to you, guess where it came from? That's a lie of the devil. Oh, I'm so unworthy, Brother David. You don't know the mistakes I made. No, I don't. And you don't know the mistakes I made. But I do know this. I know the truck backed up to the front door this morning. Amen. And he unloaded blessings on me. He gave me mercies. His mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
It's what I do every morning. The truck unloads at the house. Bunches of packages everywhere. The first thing, where's the mercy at? Where's the mercy? I want to open up the mercy. I need the mercy. Some of you are like, coffee. I got to have coffee. No. Mercy.
Come on.
Forget about the healings. I'll get to the healings eventually. Forget. The first thing I want to do is I want to open that mercy up. Because he promised a fresh dose of mercy every morning. Oh my. Musicians, if you'll come, that'll help me stop. I want to say this in a way that I hope that you take it from the spiritual application that I'm trying to bring it to you. But Jesus Christ came down. When Eliezer spoke to Rebecca and her family, when he opened his mouth and he said, there's an Isaac in a land and he has a desire for you to be his bride. That was not Eliezer's opinion. That was not Eliezer's idea. That was Isaac's desire being expressed to his bride. And Christ came down in the evening time. And he began to speak through Eliezer. And he spoke to the bride. Lots of girls heard it. The neighbor girls heard it. The girl across the street, she might have heard Eliezer's voice, but the voice of Eliezer to Rebecca was the same as hearing Isaac say it. And he came down in the evening time, and he said, the Bible says in one place, he said, and while he was yet speaking, he was talking to God, he was praying there at the well. Said, while Eliezer was yet speaking, Rebecca came out. Brother Branham, why'd you preach that? Billy, we came to this city for one soul. We can go home. It's done. We got the one that God sent us here for. While he was yet speaking, Rebecca said, I need to go get some water. Christ came down in this day and age that we live in, and he said, I'm going to have a bride in the midst of the worst generation that there's ever been, in the midst of the most evil, corrupt age that there's ever been. I'm going to have a bride. in the midst of every deception that man can think of, in the midst of every lie and every utterance that men can make against my servant, I'm going to have a bride. Sister Jeannie and I will soon be married 40 years. And I do hope that you understand what I'm getting ready to say. But in those 40 years, it doesn't matter what kind of day I've had. It doesn't matter how much stress, what people have said to me, done to me, said about me, or anything. My favorite time of day, when the kids were younger, the kids would be put to bed. She would come and lay down next to me, and she'd put her head on this shoulder right here. And she would begin to tell me about her day and about the kids. You should have heard Benjamin say such and such today. Oh, I wish you'd have been here and seen Tim. He did something that made me so proud. He did this, he did that. Oh, I wish you would. I got to make sure I show you the test that David brought home and the score that he got on it. It just amazes me. My bride laying on my shoulder, laying on my breast, telling me, you know, Timothy's getting bigger. He needs some different shoes. He's outgrown those shoes. I need this at the grocery and just little things. That if she said that to anybody else, big deal. Your kid's outgrown his shoes. But you know what it did in me? It made me desire to work harder the next day and provide and take care of every need that she had. Amen. To work my fingers to the bones because I'm going to take care of her. Jesus Christ has invited this bride in this day and age. Come lay on my breast. Let me whisper my promises into your ear, bride, and you tell me what you have need of. Just like in the Garden of Eden, when he came down and walked in the cool of the day. Adam, how was your day? Well, Eve didn't like that bush over here, so I moved it over here, Lord. That's fine. Is there anything else that you and your bride have need of? No. Jesus Christ has come down in this day. You know, I appreciate you, sisters. I have a godly love in my heart for every one of you. But tonight, after the evening service, I'm going out and getting in a car, and there's only one of you sisters that's getting in that car and going home with me. And that's my bride. I appreciate you. I'd like to go out to eat with you and enjoy fellowship with you. But when it comes time to go home and have a moment of intimacy, she's the only one. And Jesus Christ come down and he stood here. The denominations couldn't understand it. They couldn't accept it. But you and I, Brother Trevor, he invited this bride in to the innermost chamber. And he preached a message called "The Mighty God Unveiled Before Us." Why'd he do that, Brother Jimmy? Just for a good message? For us to take quotes off of? And fuss about what he meant and what he... No, he did it for one reason. It was time for him to reproduce himself in his bride. He stood before us, Brother Arnie, and he preached the invisible union. And the denominations listen to it and goes, hogwash. And we listen to it and say, Christ formed in me. Jesus Christ robed in flesh one more time. Rebecca, bride of Jesus Christ, will you go? Will you give yourself to Isaac? I'm not asking you to marry Eliezer. I'm not asking you to worship Eliezer. I'm asking you, will you go to be the bride for Isaac? You said, Brother David, how do I do it? Jesus made it real simple one time. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. We didn't understand it. Brother Branham came and preached a message and told us about what happened in the Garden of Eden. Nobody else could describe that to us. Nobody else could make it real. But we understood, oh, that's why I've got to be born again, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. I can't get there on the merits of LG and Lenora Hoover producing this guy right here. That won't get past the gate. But if I can lay aside everything about LG and Lenora Hoover, all my habits, all my empty promises and things, if I can get beyond that, Brother Anthony, Jesus Christ wants to reproduce himself in me. There's a David Hoover inside that LG and Lenora had nothing to do with. Why? Because I got alone with Jesus Christ one day, and he formed himself in me. No wonder Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, till Christ be formed in you. I'm not serving Jesus Christ because of that picture on the wall. I'm not serving him because there's books and tapes. I'm serving him because one day he came off of that picture. He came off of those books and off those tapes, and he came and he stood before me in a little church in Muncie, Indiana, and he said, will you allow me to form myself in your soul? Will you let me reproduce myself in you? God, you don't know what I've done. Oh, yes, I do. Took me an hour and a half. I told him everything. Brother Jimmy, I don't care whether people believe it or not, but at the end of the hour and a half, I never saw anybody. I never saw a physical being. But at the end of the hour and a half of me just dumping everything that I had in me out, I felt two arms wrap around me and pull me up close. And I heard a still small voice down inside say, I knew all of that, but I love you anyway. You're mine. I picked you up off of a Pentecostal church pew, sitting in a hypocritical spirit, acting like you was something and you wasn't. And I want to form myself in you. That's what he wants to do this morning. I got to stop. Oh my. Rebecca? What made you jump off that camel and go running to meet Isaac? I was in a far and distant land one day. I was bound by heathenism. I was bound by idolatry. I was bound by the thoughts and the ideas and the commandments of men. But Isaac sent Eliezer down. And now I'm free. I'm free. How come you shout amen so loud? How come you dance? How come you run? How come you act so crazy sometimes? You don't know. You don't know where Eliezer found me. You don't know what Isaac's gifts did. You don't know what it meant whenever I got alone with Isaac. You don't understand that, but you can this morning. Are you bound this morning? Are you sitting there worried that you're not good enough? Why don't you come and meet Jesus this morning? Why don't you come to your Isaac and let him break those chains? Why don't you let him free you of those cigarettes or that adulterous spirit or that fornication, that pornography, that alcoholism? I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know. I can't stop you. Bear with me just for a few moments, just a few more moments of grace. God's dealing with somebody's heart, and I've got to fulfill this. I've got to empty this out. I don't care what some preachers told you that you're not worthy of following the message. I don't care what somebody said about you made a mistake when you was young, and that's it. It's over. I don't care if divorce came and scarred your life. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ wants to set you free. Not to go do anything you want to do, but to follow Him and reproduce Him. Brother Branham prayed one time. I was listening to a tape this week. Brother Branham's praying. He says, "Oh, Holy Spirit, come down now." Just bow your heads as I pray like he, as best I can, like he did. He says on that tape, he says, "Holy Spirit, come and woo your little bride. Draw her up close to you. Heavenly Father, I come. I've spent myself. Lord, I've taken too much time. I don't want to wear the people out, but Lord, I want them to understand what it is that you want to do in them and how free they can be this morning, how they can walk from this sanctuary this morning. Lord, some of them are bound by sin. Some of them are just bound by unbelief. Some of them are bound by some man-made doctrine that's been concocted and been called part of the message. And they're all bound up and they don't understand what they're actually capable of. Would you set them free this morning? Would you help me sing the song, "My Chains Are Gone. I've been set free. My God and Savior ransomed me." I don't know if I can sing it with my voice the way that it is, but you all know the song that I'm talking about, I'm sure. You want to be free this morning? You want to be free to fulfill that promise that God spoke about you, little bride?
Asked Abraham, he said, "But what if I can't get her to come?" He said, "If she don't come, you're loosed from your oath." But he knew there was a predestinated bride. She was going to respond. I don't believe it was by coincidence that she happened to be coming to water the camels that day. And he prayed and said, "If she'll just water my camels, I'll know she's the one." He knew where you were at. He knew where he was going to find you one day. It was a predestinated plan. Oh, my. The Brim said he asked God to show him, "Just show me a scripture that would type my ministry." He said, "Eliezer, go get my son a bride." Amen. Aren't you glad you heard that Eliezer voice? Amen. What a blessed people we are. Let's sing this morning. They could have maybe asked her years later, said, "Why on earth did he pick you? Out of all the women in Haran, why did Eliezer bring you back?" She could have said, "Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life. It was his mercy that rewrote my life. Stand and sing it together. softly this morning. There's something in your life. You don't feel like all is well this morning. The word's been preached. I feel like God's presence is here and that he's dealing with hearts. Don't let him pass you by this morning. There's something that you may need to make right before you can completely sing that this morning. All is well. You don't have to come and confess it to me. You can confess it to God. You can come around the altar and pray. You can do it right there in your seat. But he's here this morning. He's calling. Amen. He's coming to seek and to save those that are lost. There's something about it. He just keeps calling and calling and calling. Amen. There's going to be a Rebecca that recognizes that call. Says, I don't care what my family says. I don't care what my church says. I don't care what my neighbor thinks about me. I don't care what the person in the pew beside me thinks about me. All I care is what Isaac thinks. He's called me. All I care about is what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords thinks. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It just matters what he thinks. Oh, why don't you think about it in your heart this morning? So we sing it again together. Oh, we must have the faith of Abraham, knowing God's word never fails. Oh, my little bride, rest, for all is well. Let's just worship him this morning. All is well. Oh, that he found you somewhere. Maybe this is your testimony this morning. If it isn't, it can be. Oh, one night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night, it drove out the light. My heart sang with fear. In my desperate cry, I rang out with pride. For all I could see, seemed like no hope in sight. With my faith all but gone, that's when I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. Thank you, Jesus. You came looking for me. I know he made a way when there was no way that I could see. Oh, when I drifted far, my Jesus was near. He rescued my soul. Oh, this is where he found me. Old Satan had already picked out my grave. His plans had moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Oh, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Then my Jesus stepped in. Said, Satan, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm. Oh, he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. Oh, even though I didn't deserve it, he came looking for me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he, hallelujah. When there was no way that I could see. I had drifted so far, but my Jesus. my soul, calmed all my fears. Oh, I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, where'd he find you at? He came looking for me. Oh, just in his grace, looking for me. Hallelujah. Oh, he made a way. No way. Oh, church, I had drifted so far, but my Jesus was near. Then he rescued my soul and calmed all my fears. I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Well, old Satan had already picked out my grave. His plans had moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far. Could anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Satan told me my destruction was just a matter of time. But my Jesus stepped in, said, Satan, this boy is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm, 'cause he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me at the darkest of hour. Oh, he came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I drifted far, but Jesus came near. Rescued my soul, calmed all my fears. Oh, is that your testimony this morning? Oh, let's sing it together one more time with all our hearts. Oh, he came looking for me. I was in despair. I was about to give up, but he came looking for me. Oh, and he made a way when there was no way. Oh, maybe somebody told you, son, you've drifted too far, but Jesus is near. He can rescue your soul. He can calm all your fears. Oh, you're safe from all harm once you've met the one who came looking for me. Oh, looking for me. He rescued my soul. God bless you. Service tonight at 6:30. You can be dismissed. Amen. Go in the grace of God. Oh, he came looking for me. Right in the middle of my trial, looking for me. My King made a way when there was no way that I. Rescued my soul, he calmed all my fears. I'm safe from all harm now that I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, one night while on life's raging sea, looked as if I was gonna suffer defeat. As the blackness of night, it drove out the light, my heart sank with fear. With my desperate cry, I rang out with fright, 'cause all I could see was no hope in sight. With my faith all but gone, that's when I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. His grace made a way when there was no way that I could see. Oh, when I drifted far, Jesus was near. He rescued my soul.
But there's something